I therefore so run as not without a purpose. I so fight as not beating the air. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. I have traveled extensively. I've seen many places, many peoples, many cultures, many religions. I was exposed sometimes to some mockeries or even persecutions, moral or sometimes even physical. And yet I remained patient and persevered in my efforts. I could have certainly given up. The temptation was great to abandon the promise I had made to God and to go back to my former life. But my whole self couldn't but suffer from the absence of the one I love. Everywhere I went, I preached the gospel. I've offered my life as a living witness to the message of Christ. The fight was worth it. Yes, the fight was worth it, and I thank God for the vocation I have received. But there's one condition to that vocation we all have received. Vocation to holiness. One condition: to finish the race. Since all run, but one receives the prize. And so, my friends, run. Run as to obtain it. These could have been the words the great apostle St. Paul, words he could have shared with us today, as he did long ago with the community of Corinth. And that specific community continues to amaze me, as I hope it also amazes and intrigues you. And to draw a simple parallel, Corinth at the time, was a large city of ancient Greece, was considered what I consider the Las Vegas of the East, a big trade hub with lots of money, lots of games and immorality, home of the Temple of Apollo, and the crossroad of East and West. So the task at hand was far from being easy for the young community of Corinth. But the apostle exhorts them to the practice of courage, of perseverance, and of prudence. But he also announces the premise: to fight. To fight. My dear friends, there cannot be any victory without a good fight. But how can we reconcile St. Paul's exhortations to fight and persevere in the good fight? Reconcile this with the hedonistic culture we live in. A culture of immediacy, a culture of instantaneous gratification and pleasure. Everyone here, whether you like it or not, is being, or will be to some degree, molded by that culture, since we were all born in that culture, beginning with the sexual revolution of the 1960s, with contraception, abortion, to avoid at all costs the burden of a child. And now the chimeric dream to create a world where work and struggle and pain and suffering would be no more, if only the sacrosanct artificial intelligence could take over the painful side of our miserable existence. I'm particularly shocked and saddened by the current debate in France, my home country, about the right to practice euthanasia, also called assisting dying, supposedly to free one from suffering without even needing his or her consent. To cure and at the same time to kill. to prevent suicide and at the same time to kill. Reversing the ontological meaning of suffering, where death becomes the only exit door, the only answer, under the guise of fraternity and compassion and so on, in that twisted argumentation. But the most vulnerable and the most afflicted among us have a right to receive help, to receive assistance, support, since they too can certainly finish the race with dignity and love. My dear fellow Americans, in America today, physician-assisted suicide, known as medical aid or death with dignity, is already legal in 12 states. But at the root of the problem is the loss of reference, loss of purpose. Why would one fight? Why would one want to fight if one doesn't know that a reward has been prepared for him or for her? In our hedonistic culture, that element of fight, of struggle, is definitely missing. Immediate reward, immediate gratification must be at the tip of my finger. So effort shall be no more. But deep down, in these erroneous theories, there is a false understanding of love, of pleasure, and ultimately of happiness, because their only justification is to be found in the mystery of the cross. So love is the principle of action, because love conquers, love fights. To illustrate that, let's look at the tragic reality of addictions today. How an inordinate, a false love for things, even things like dangerous or poisonous substances, how an inordinate love can lead to unthinkable behaviors, even among the best of us. One will do anything to get what he wants, what he loves, like an irresistible attraction for something that would end up being his very own murderer. Man is never at peace. Man is never at peace, says the author of The Imitation of Christ, when he desires things that are not proportionate to and not directed towards his destiny or his vocation, union with God, eternal happiness in the next world. And St. Francis de Sales understood that love charity, now the more positive, the supernatural form of love, love charity, when in relation with God, this legitimate, this necessary and good form of love, he understood that this form of love is not only the end of all ascetical efforts, all the mortifications, all the sacrifices we practice, not only the end, but also its very source and principle. To love is to be ready to fight in order to remove all the obstacles standing between me and the object of my love. If then I understand the purpose of my existence and the possibility of eternal beatitude with God, if all I love is directed to that ultimate end, to my love for God, if I accept that true love can only be found in Him, and fight to anchor my love in Him, then will I find an incredible force, an incredible power in me, which shall help remove anything preventing me from attaining that union with God, object of all my love. And our earthly destiny is not so much to render to God a service of praise and adoration, as we do today. Of course, liturgy is also an essential part of our Christian life. But our earthly destiny is to offer Him the oblation, the offering of a life that becomes more and more perfect. Perfect because more conformed to His will. Isn't love then the state of victory over ourselves, from one victory to another, in fighting the good fight, shall we receive the crown? Salesian love, the love in the theology of St. Francis de Sales, makes us conquerors, masters of all our instinctive powers, capable of an active, thoughtful, and unceasing adherence to the will of God. It's not only a love of sentiments, which can be necessary in the initial steps of that love of sentiments, but above all, a love of reason, a love of the will, a love of action. To be able to will what God wills. This is our Christian ideals. And to measure our degree of perfection, we must refer to our degree of love, of charity. That is, that vigor, that strength of the impulse, or the power of my desires to want what God wants. But to keep up the good fight, there is no other alternative than taking good resolutions. Good resolutions every day. We all know that the road to hell is paved with good intentions. With good intentions. It is not paved with good resolutions. To take a good resolution is already to make a step forward towards its accomplishment. But unfortunately, many of our resolutions remain inefficient because poorly picked, too vague, incomplete, or simply chimerical. Resolutions, when specific, precise, and feasible, are without any doubt a strength, an impulse in favor of the idea they wish to translate into actions. So again, resolutions are already movements towards the acts we want to accomplish. First thing then in the morning, after a short recollection, ideally after a few minutes of meditation, take one or two resolutions for the day and renew your desire to love and serve God. And this as often as possible during the day. And also bring back to your memory that resolution you took when you woke up in the morning. One can have the best intentions in the world. If it does not translate it into specific resolutions, it will simply remain totally sterile. If, on the contrary, I often renew my love for God and foster sentiments of charity and love towards my neighbor, I will see, because we said it's a principle of action. Love is a principle of action. It pushes me towards accomplishing what I desire, to receive what I desire. So if I renew that love for God and for my neighbor often, I will slowly but surely see my whole life redirect itself towards the object of my love, towards God and His holy will. Since, as we said, love cannot but excite, invigorate the will and all the faculties. Love becomes a power of action. And from there, I will simply narrow down the effort and aim at removing the obstacles with the resolutions chosen. So with the Lenten season approaching, we're giving the opportunity to work with more generosity and attention on perfecting our whole life. May it be for us a time of deeper conversion, time for specific, practical resolutions. Not these chimerical ideas and intentions, but practical, concrete resolutions. From one victory to another, We can be certain that we shall win the battle and finish the race. Let's not forget that any mortification, any sacrifice, any penance, any form of asceticism will greatly depend on our degree of love. And an effective love which seeks the will of God in all things. A love that is patient and forgiving, particularly towards oneself and one's own imperfections and weaknesses. A love that is prudent and watchful in choosing the right means to attain that goal, in avoiding the many dangers which would take us further away from the object of our love. A love that is not afraid to get in the fight and to sacrifice whatever is needed in order to find Him whom our hearts love, repeating with our great saint, to love or to die and to love, to die to all other love in order to live in Jesus' love, so that we may not die eternally. Live Jesus, Jesus who lives and reigns forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.